Peace be with you. Friends, what a powerful gospel we have this week. It's one of those gospels that just takes your breath away, that convinces you that everything in you has to change, that opens up the heart of the matter. Luke tells us great crowds were traveling with Jesus. Just get that image in your mind. Jesus surrounded by these crowds of people. Obviously, he was a popular man. He was a figure of fascination, probably due to his healings. Lots of people were coming after him. And so, he feels the need to clarify for them precisely the cost of discipleship. Here they all are. They're all coming after him. But do they know what following him entails? Think of today. All the millions upon millions of people that follow Jesus, all of us. But do we know precisely what this entails? What the cost of it is? And now listen to his words as he clarifies this. If anyone comes to me without hating his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I submit to you, those are pretty hard words. They're hard to hear now. If anything, they were harder to hear then. Because it'd be hard to imagine a more family or clan-centered society than the society of Jesus' time. Loyalty to wife, husband, parents, children, cousins was just massively important. And Jesus is saying, not only be indifferent to these people, I want you to hate these people. Unless you hate them, you cannot be my disciple. What in the world does he mean? Well, I think what he's saying, in the typically exaggerated Israelite style, is that you can't make, listen now, even your family a concern more central and ultimate than Jesus himself and his kingdom. Let me say that again. I think this is the heart of the matter. This is the hinge. You cannot make even this highest value, your family, your beloved, you can't make them a concern more central and ultimate than Jesus and his kingdom. God alone matters ultimately. And everything else must find its place around that ultimate concern. Yes, even something as exalted, as important as your family. Now see, here's the point. How thoroughly this runs counter to our tidy little privatized religion. You know what I'm saying? I got all my concerns lined up. And one of my little tiny private concerns is my religion. Like a hobby. You know, like playing golf, like playing bridge. It's a hobby that I've got. And it's one of my little private concerns. See, that doesn't work. That can't work. That means you're not following Jesus. If even your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, if they're higher in your list of concerns than Christ and his kingdom, you're not his follower. You know, this is very close to, of course, is Jesus' equally shocking recommendation when the man says, Lord, I'll come follow you, just let me bury my father first. Well, he's just speaking out of this deep Jewish sense of family loyalty. And the Lord says, let the dead bury their dead. And that would have the same slap in the face kind of impact that these words have. But then he goes even further. That's what makes this so powerful. He adds, unless you hate your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Now, if we're paying attention, everything has just gone topsy-turvy. Because, let's face it, protecting and enhancing one's life seems to be pretty much the central project, doesn't it? It seems like everything we do, from cultivating friendships to getting an education, eating, drinking, relationships, all of it is designed to foster our lives, right? I mean, that's the ultimate concern. No. No, is what Jesus is saying. All of these things have to be kicked out of the central place. All of them have to give way to the kingdom of God. St. Augustine, one of my great heroes, caught this principle when he said, love God for his own sake. Love everything else for the sake of God. That's right. That's it. Do you eschew your family and relationships and friendships and food and drink and all those good things? No, 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 no. You love them, but not for their own sake. You love them for the sake of God. And you love God alone for his own sake. Didn't Jesus sum this up too in his pithy phrase? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? And the rest will be given unto you. That means the rest will find their place around that central concern. Okay, you think that's pretty demanding? I'd say so. But if possible, things get even more demanding. Listen. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay. Now, maybe we've been willing to follow the recommendations so far and to accept Jesus and his kingdom as our absolutely central concern, more than our own life, more than our family. But, nevertheless, we might still be taking Jesus too abstractly or too piously. We might be accepting a simulacrum, a sort of ersatz Jesus. Here's the point. The real Jesus always walks toward the cross. That's where he goes. That's where he tends. Oh, I'm following Christ. Christ is my central concern. Well, which Christ are we talking about? A pious abstraction or the real one? Because the real one walked to the cross. And that's why following him, how often that little phrase is used in the Gospels, follow me, come after me. Well, that means follow me to the cross. It's biblical code. Walking in my path, but that path goes to one place, namely Calvary. Now, mind you, this is not masochism. It's not some perverse embrace of suffering for its own sake. It's not a resolution to seek out pain. See, that's a caricature of Christianity, that we're, you know, world-hating, world-denying, masochists, we're embracing suffering for its own sake. No, no. No, no. Listen. It's the sober acceptance of the fact that walking in the way of Jesus, and that means the way of nonviolence, the way of forgiveness, the way of self-gift, the way of other orientation, when you walk that path in the midst of a sinful, violent world, you will come to conflict. Just take that to the bank. There is no exception to that rule. Look at it in the lives of all the great saints. Whenever you walk consciously in the path of Jesus, which means the path of love, nonviolence, forgiveness, expect opposition. You will face opposition. Jesus relying utterly on his Father, allowing the grace of the Father to surge through him for the transformation of the world, that's the kingdom. That's what it looks like. In a perfect universe, this would be met with joy and gratitude. But, friends, you and I both know this. In a world gone wrong, this kingdom stance is met with fierce resistance. What in fact is good for us, what in fact will save us, what in fact is God's own life, is sensed by our diseased souls as a poison. Carrying the cross, taking up your cross every day, is code for accepting the suffering that inevitably comes from being an agent of God's kingdom. What a program. You see what I'm saying about the breathtaking quality of this? You want to be my disciple? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're fascinated by you. Okay, that ain't enough. You want to be my disciple? You have to hate your mother and father, hate your children. You have to hate your cousins and your clan. You got to hate your own life. And you got to take up your cross. You got to be willing to accept suffering. That's what it means. To make Jesus and his kingdom central to your life. Here's a story I just read recently in a book by John Shea, the theologian. And it catches this, I think, very well. In the late 1980s, a volunteer approached a leader of the sanctuary movement. Remember that? When people were coming north from Mexico and they were seeking sanctuary in Catholic churches. And there was a movement there to kind of protect them and to help them. It's still, as you know, very much a lively issue today. But this person approached the sanctuary movement and asked to join their work. The leader said to her, "Are you ready to have your phone tapped by the government? Are you prepared to have your neighbors shun you? Are you strong enough to have your children ridiculed and harassed at school? Are you ready to be arrested and tried with full media coverage? If so, join us." You see what she's saying? Are you ready and willing to take up your cross? This is not some kind of spiritual romanticism, just the opposite. It's how serious are you about accepting the implications of walking the way of the kingdom? You know, again, a very good example would be Martin Luther King in our country. Here's someone who very consciously walks the path of nonviolence. What did he face? Constant opposition. And he well knew, you can hear it in his speeches, he well knew it would conduce toward the cross in the fullest sense. It would conduce toward his own death. He knew it. Are you willing to take up the cross? That's what all of us disciples of Jesus hear. This is why the comparisons Jesus proposes at the end of our passage are so interesting and so important. Entering the Christian life, walking after Jesus, is as serious and grave a business as a king going to war. The Lord says, "No king worth his salt, whatever undertakes such an endeavor mindlessly, without counting the cost, without realistically assessing his strength," right? The guy's coming at me with 20,000, I got 10,000, well, I'm not going to go to war. You must have the same sort of canny prudence when moving into the Christian life. Are you ready to take up the cross? And second comparison, what builder worth his salt would endeavor to put up a house without assessing the situation thoroughly? Site, building materials, budget, foundation. If those aren't in place, he's not going to build a house. He'd be silly to. So in the spiritual order. Oh, Lord, I want to be your disciple. Oh, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Are you? Are you ready? You must put me and my kingdom, the Lord says, in the central place. Eschewing all else. Nothing else can go in that central place. Not even family. Not even your own life. And you must be willing to take up your cross. You must be willing to accept the inevitable suffering that will come. You want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Are we ready? And God bless you.